That was Venyan Pollos, which means chicken.
Come on, chicken.
Come on, chicken. And that is from Our Man in Havana with Mongo Santa Maria, who is my guest on Fresh Air. Latin music, the combination of African and Cuban rhythms, now called salsa, continues to be one of the most exciting American popular music forms heard in this century. Originating in Cuba, Latin music has made its presence felt in jazz, rock and roll, and other American dancing music. Its rhythms have been simplified, and some may think bastardized, in disco. Xavier Cugat, Ricky Ricardo, and even Barry Manilow in his tune Copacabana have provided one representation of Latin music most people in this country have heard. Salsa, the music most closely identified with the Puerto Rican communities, is primarily a percussive dancing music. Cungas, cowbells, bongos, claves, and timbales provide the rhythms which, in different combinations, are the basis for the merengue, guaguancó, rumba, cha-cha-cha, and the bolero. The piano, flute, violin also have characteristic patterns for these dances and are used in ways unique to salsa. My guest on Fresh Air is Mongo Santa Maria, cunga drummer, band leader, and composer. Born in Cuba, he came to the United States over 30 years ago. Mongo grew up in Havana, where he sat through rehearsals of his uncle's band. By the time he was 8, he was playing in the streets for American tourists. At the age of 22, he left a comfortable job at a Cuban post office to venture into the jazz world of New York, drawn by such players as Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk, John Coltrane, and Charles Mingus. Cunga drummer Chano Pozo, who played with Dizzy Gillespie, was also a major influence on Mongo's attraction to jazz. The musicians who so captivated Mongo would soon come to regard him as one of the true artists of Latin rhythms. Mongo Santa Maria has been leading his own band since 1952, as well as working with other giants of Latin music, such as Cal Jader, Tito Puente, and Willie Bobo. In 1963, Mongo came to the attention of American audiences with his hit record, Watermelon Man, a tune written by pianist Herbie Hancock. Mongo's latest record, Red Hot, includes both top Latin musicians, such as pianist Charlie Palmieri and singer La Lupe, and jazz and pop session men like flautist Hubert Laws and guitarist Eric Gale. The repertoire on Red Hot, from the traditional Latin sounds to the disco-influenced remake of Watermelon Man, reflects his popularity in the different settings of Latin halls, jazz clubs, and Vegas night spots. Mongo Santa Maria, it's a real pleasure to have you here.
It's my pleasure to be in your program, Danny.
Muchas gracias. Let's talk about when you were growing up in Cuba, in Havana. When did you first want to be a musician?
Well, I think since I remember all my life, because I was fascinated by the sound of the percussion instrument. And me, any percussion to make any sound, maraca, bongos, conga, timbales, anything, was really attracted to that.
Did you have instruments to play on at first, or were you playing on tables?
Well,
and
I
jars?
Play on a table. I play in a, you know, cigar bus, a little cigar bus, and a hat. You have a hat, a straw hat. We used to make a sound with that. We used to improvise, yes, and play like it was an instrument.
What did your family think of you going into music?
Well, my mother, she was too happy. She wanted me to be to play violin. But I remember the first time that my father saw me play, he said, "What is that you sing? That's what you really." And he was really surprised when he saw me play. And he told me, "It's your life. It's you." Yeah, I was already working in a post office and everything, but, you know, the music was in me, really deep. You know, I was leave anything yet to play the bongos, play the conga, make a song sound. Yeah.
Did you hang out with people your own age who were playing or with older musicians?
I used to hang out most of the time with older musicians, you know. Yeah, and plus with young kids too, we used to, but most of the time, I was with all the musicians.
I understand when you were around 8 years old, you were playing in the streets for American tourists. How did you feel doing that?
Well, I was in a leader group of the old kids. They used to, some old guy, they used to take us, you know, to the spot that most of the tourists used to come in, and they used to pass the hat. Oh, and we used to play, and they always collect some money, you know, and we used to dress like a Marine. Everybody in the band, you sit down and play. It was really beautiful.
Were you playing tunes that you thought Americans would like? Or
No, we played really a tune that was a Cuban tune. Yeah, most of the, because it's something the about the Cuban music. The American all the way like the jazz, all the way was the people, the Cuban people was really attracted by the jazz, since I remember. You know?
When you were playing for the tourists, did you feel that they took those sounds home with them, or did you feel that it was a tourist attraction?
Yeah, it was attraction because they used to be really attracted by the instrument, about the rhythm. A lot of the songs that used to be popular with the tourists, they wanted to hear, like Pina Bende or some other song, Mama Inez, or that kind of thing they used to hear. There was a lot of the song was even in movies, in American movies.
Why did you come to the U.S., Mongo? What was the attraction?
Well, I left Cuba to go to Mexico with a review. And the review after the performance in Mexico, they got, you know, booking in New York in a Latin theater called Teatro Hispano. I mean, Hispanic theater. And they used to bring a show, most of them, from Mexico and Cuba. We came, the group was two dancing and three rhythm men, you know. We used to dance too. Armando Peraza was included in a group with me.
Were you playing congas at that time or other percussion?
I would play all percussion, conga, bongo, quinto, everything. And we used to also dance with the two dances. We came to New York to perform in a Hispanic theater. We did a 2 week over there. Then we was in a club called the Havana Madrid. I was really fascinated by New York.
About what year was this when you were in New York?
1950, about 1950.
Well, there was a lot of jazz happening then.
Yeah.
Were you listening? Were you going?
Yeah, I used to go to the Boylan. I saw in the Boylan at Charlie Park, I saw almost everybody in those days. You know, I saw everybody because I used to go to the Boylan and sit down over there. I used to go to the place in Harlem called the Savoy. I saw dancing over there that I never forget. The best dance in the world used to be over there in the Savoy. Beautiful, beautiful.
Would you sit in with the musicians at Birdland or any of the...
I did a couple of times, yeah.
How did that go? How did they react to you?
Oh, really beautiful, because in those days was really the conga started to take off in the United States. Chano Pozo was he got killed in 1948, 1949, and the conga was really popular instrument. It was like a brand new thing. Was a novelty, and everybody that played conga, the way where was really considered like a big thing, and it was not what too many people played that really were the conga in those days. And I used to play in any place, the people used to really go crazy. You know?
Were you playing the típica rhythms that you play in Cuba, or did you play differently?
No, different. We like you hear the Chano Pozo record with Dizzy Gillespie, and he would play the way that he played with any Cuban band, but yet adapted to the American band. But you play the same thing. You play the same. While you play with good musicians, you can adapt without the really prostitute your music, you know?
Did it change, if you were playing what you would normally play with a Cuban band, did it change the playing of some of the jazz players that you were with?
I don't believe so. Because you hear, for example, Manteca, mm-hmm. Tintindeo, Cubano B, Cubano B. You hear those records today, and the band sound good, and Chano Pozo sound good. No one of them really play less than what they really supposed.
In 1960, when you went back to Cuba to record a record that we'll be hearing in just a minute, you went back with Willie Bobo to record Our Man in Havana. Did you detect any changes after the revolution?
Well, we went over there in 1960. The revolution was in 1959. I was over there with my family after 7 years not being in the country. And it was really, you know, more in the music, because I went over there with all my oldest song in the album. It's almost my music, except to one or two. And I was over there with a wrench, you know, working the scene, putting the group together. Yeah, I don't was looking too much about the political side. You know, I was more into the music, you know.
Well, why don't we hear right now the song that is on Our Man in Havana called Barandanga.
Barandanga. It's written by Armando Peraza.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us about the song before we hear it?
Well, Barandanga, it's a song that Armando Peraza, my friend and colleague, you know, he played conga. You know Armando Peraza. He played with Santana now. He wrote the song, and he sang the song for me. It was really funny the way they were singing the song. I went to Cuba. He don't know nothing when I went to Cuba that he's going to record the song for him. I got together with the arrangement. I sang the song for him, and he made the arrangement. And yesterday in the day, we recorded the song. When I came back to San Francisco, I used to live in San Francisco, because by that time, I don't have a band. I was working with Calleira in the West Coast. I played the demo for Armando. He flipped. He went crazy.
Are there any rhythms that we should listen for in this? Is there a basic beat?
The basic, what we call it, guaracha, or then they call it mambo, or today they call it salsa, but it's the same thing.
Okay, let's hear it. And this is Barandanga from Our Man in Havana with Mongo Santa Maria.
Baila la bamba, barandanga, tú baila la bamba. 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 Barandanga, tú baila la bamba.
That was Barandanga from Our Man in Havana with Mongo Santamaria on Cungas, who is my guest on Fresh Air. You know, Mongo, today this music is called salsa.
Yeah.
What was it called back in the 60s? What have the different names
been
in different places?
Afro-Cuban music, guaracha, guaguancó. But today they haven't changed nothing. It's the same music because there's no new dancing or new music. It's the same music. But, you know, they call it salsa. Probably it's more commercial or probably the political situation with Cuba. But before, all life was called the type of music when they used to use in Latin American movie, the Cuban music, they used to call it Afro-Cuban music, you know.
What's African and what's Cuban about it? Can you break the rhythms down?
Well, African is, you know, the Yoruba rhythm from West Africa that we still preserve in Cuba, in a religion, in a ritual. And also, it's another type of the rhythm that we call Ñáñigo, Abacua. They came from another part of the Africa called Calabar. We still preserve that kind of the thing in Cuba, the secret society. They still preserve, even you find a lot of people in Cuba today or yesterday, they still speak in the African dialect. And almost everybody in Cuba know a few words and understand a few words in a Yoruba language, or so-called in Cuba, Lukumi.
That was the name of the language?
Yoruba, mm-hmm. is the language from West Africa, Nigeria, and those places. And in Cuba, we call it Lukumi, but it's the same thing. Yes, it's different. Now, the Cuban created from those types of rhythm, what we call it today, Son Montuno, Cha-cha-cha, danzón, guaguancó, Colombia.
Merengue.
No, merengue is the type of the rhythm from Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Merengue from Dominican Republic. And probably have some African influence too. You know, but I know I can't talk about that.
You just mentioned a minute ago secret societies in Cuba. Were these clubs?
No. It's a society they call Ñáñigo or Abacua. Well, it's like the society that you call in here, Mason, you know, the kind of thing, the people that get together to help each other, you know, to be a good son, be a good friend. If you are sick or you don't have a job, we're from the same branch, but I help you, or you help me, you help your family, you know, whatever, you know.
Is there anything still like this?
Yes, I see. I did.
Where would you be playing in Cuba? Was it mostly in dance halls, or was it in big clubs for tourists?
When I started in my neighborhood, I would play and, you know, and I lead the dance. But then when I started to grow, I started to get a name. I started to go to the professional. In most of the jazz, the main something was in a. And a nightclub like a Tropicana, Sans Souci, Montmartre, a lot of other clubs. I was lucky that I was working in those particular clubs most of the time. But it was like most of the people that used to go to the club was tourists and the rich Cuban people, you know, not the working class, you know, or nothing like that, you know.
When I think of Cuban clubs, one of the first things I think of is Ricky Ricardo and I Love Lucy.
Well, but Ricky Ricardo, I wanted to tell you that he was a musician in Cuba. He never was a musician in Cuba. His father was a big politician, for what I understand. He was the mayor of the one of the biggest cities in Oriente. And then they came here in the 30s or something like a refugee.
What do you think when have you seen the I Love Lucy?
I love the program, yeah.
What do you think when you see Ricky Ricardo up there playing in a Cuban band in the United States? And that's probably what a lot of people think of Cuban music, what they see on I Love Lucy.
No, but the people that have no more safe, they don't want to think of that's the real Cuban music. Because you see, the people know him like a comedian through Lucy. That's really the star of the whole thing. But Ricky Ricardo never was a conga player or musician in Cuba.
How about, have you heard Barry Manilow's song, Coca Cabana?
I heard it, yeah.
What do you think of that?
I like it.
How do you think he uses the sounds?
Nice.
Let's listen to what is your latest recording, which is Red Hot, and we're going to listen to a song called Amino
Mengaña.
Mengaña.
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention that one of the things I really liked about this particular song was Charlie Palmieri,
who is a great pianist.
Who is actually the brother of another great pianist, yeah. Eddie Palmieri.
Eddie Palmieri, yeah.
When did you start working with Charlie Palmieri?
Well, we're working together with Tito Puente back in the early 50s. When I enjoyed Tito Puente band, he was the pianist with the band. We played together in the same band he was about a year and a half. And then I was with Tito for about almost 7 years. And then he left. And, you know, the thing happened.
Was his playing back then like it is now? Has it changed, Charlie Palmieri's playing?
What play? And yeah.
His piano soloing?
Yeah, it was even probably better.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear this. And this is called, in English, You Better Believe It.
Yeah.
And it's on Mongo Santamaria's new album on Columbia called Red Hot.
Cuban song,
That was Aminu Menganyan.
Enganyan.
Enganyan. Which, what does that translate to?
You can't fool me.
Well, that's on Mongo Santa Maria's latest record called Red Hot on Columbia Records. There are a lot of jazz musicians that have played with you. Hubert Laws and Chick Corea.
Yeah. Tony Fortune. And even the trumpet player, Woody Chor, he played with me for a little while, too. So many others. Nia Cricket, Louis Gasca, a trumpet player from Houston, Texas. A lot of good jazz musicians, they passed through my band through the years. Hubert was with me 4.5 years. He played many, many, many times in Philadelphia with me. And they all close, like Pegs, and Old Town Theater, and Academy Music, and Showboat, and Oak Claw, they play many, many times.
When a Latin musician would join your band, would they have to learn the basics first of the music and the rhythms, or?
Most of the, you talk about Latin musicians or jazz musicians?
Jazz musicians joining your band.
Well, most of the musicians that came to my band, they already familiar with my music. It, like my music is like a bilingual. You have to, I don't have nothing. I don't play typical like those guys that you mentioned before, Barreto, Pacheco. I try to play, you know, a music that be more in the American contest. Like we've been playing for many years in club. Like we used to play in the Berlin, we used to play in Pex, we used to play all over the United States. And most of the time in jazz club.
Would jazz musicians sit in with you then? Not, you know, ones that would just sit in for the night?
Dizzy Gillespie did it many times. Dizzy, but not many other jazz musicians, you know. But Dizzy did it many times. Some other I can't remember right now, but not many, many times. Because we were playing club and concert, you know, and things like that. But we've been playing most of the time. I haven't played dance in many, many years. We play most of the time. And jazz club, like whatever came to Philadelphia, it used to be like in my hometown. My favorite town was Philadelphia. I used to have here big, big following, but was almost all the time was in an American club for listening, not for dancing.
Your music has always had sounds, American popular sounds in it, such as like the funky sounds in El Pussycat, or in Watermelon Man. And on your latest record, Red Hot, there seems to be some disco influence with electronic instruments and drum sets.
Yeah, true.
Do these sounds inspire you? Are you trying to reach another audience? Why do you use them?
No, I try to survive. I try to pay the bill, you know, because if you don't do it today, you cannot record it. You can sell no record. The company, they wanted to do that because of the thing that happened today. You had to make a disco, you had to use the electronic sound, and you had to be contemporary to survive.
In your song, I believe it's Jayalai, there's a bass drum in it. That it sounds almost like the way the cowbell is used because it's on gunk gunk, except it's a bass drum on every beat.
The disco usually do that, no? And every beat boom 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 almost. Yeah.
When you listen to disco, do you hear? How do you feel about how disco has used the Latin rhythms? Because it seems like they've simplified it an awful lot. And it's not the same sound at all. It's a lot of electronic instruments, but a lot of the rhythmic ideas are the same. And, of course, in both musics, people dance to it. What is your sense of it?
Well, they try to simplify, you know, because the problem, the people that play those type of the instrument, they don't have their knowledge about the percussion instrument, like some Latin guy that be dedicated to play cabe or play weird or play chequere or play conga for life. And then they use, even they write music for those instruments. And when you go into the Latin session, they don't use write for the feeling. But they have the arrangement. The problem, sometimes he don't know nothing about the type of the instrument or the type of rhythm. And they're going to write note. If they put you to play their way, you know, what are you going to do?
What do you think about in salsa bands now? A lot of bands have electric guitars and drum sets. And
the same thing I told you before. They try to survive because that's the thing. They happen today. It's what the people like, what the people enjoy. And that's what they selling. They try to sell the type of sound but in order to keep them working. Because if you don't have a record, you cannot work.
Do you think the Spanish and the Cuban audiences as well as the American audiences are starting to want?
Well, you have a lot of young kids born in Cuba. They don't know nothing about Cuba because they grow up here. And the generation, the young Puerto Rican or Dominican, they American like you are because they live here in America and they have to adapt to the way they live. And they have to, you know, do those things. Because if they don't do it, how are they going to survive? If they want to be a musician and only. If you want to have another job in the daytime and play for fun, you can play the way that you feel. But if you try to make a living, you have to be, you know, with what's happening.
When you play a club such as the Bijou in Philadelphia, or when you play in a Las Vegas night spot, a very fancy place, do you play any differently for the different audience? Are your selection of tunes different, or do you have different musicians with you than you would play?
No. Whenever I go any play, like I told you before, I just come back from Europe. I was over there for the second time in Paris, Holland, and Switzerland. I take my band wherever I go, my band. You know, when I used to play in Las Vegas, I used to play the same thing that I used to play in PEX, that I used to play in the Village Gay in New York, or in the Bayland, my music. Watermelon Man, Afro Blue, my composition, Para Ti, or Batala, Daddy's favorite song, and that kind of thing, you know.
A lot of people, by the way, think that John Coltrane wrote Afro Blue.
No. It was a mistake when he recording a life in the Bayland. The company take it for granted. They put it in the album. Composed by John Coltrane, but he wrote me a letter, apologized for that. There was a mistake. They know what's his fault. He no tried to do that. It was the people in the company, they did it. The prestige, I think it was, and right away they eliminated that. But that's my composition. They wrote it back in 1960 when I was with Calle in the West Coast. You know.
That's one of the songs that I really like because of the 6/8 time,
which
you don't hear that much. Of course, you don't hear it that much in jazz, and you don't even it's even not that much.
Well, you hear in jazz what you have to be the really jazz musician, like Dizzy Gillespie all the way play the type of thing.
Yeah, Dizzy always
even
plays
6/8. McCoy Tyner did a recording, beautiful recording, the Afro Blue. I love it. And now as a young Puerto Rican musician. He did a beautiful recording too, called Dave Valentin. I think Afro Blue have about close to 18 or 20 different versions for different artists. Yeah.
What kind of audiences are you having now? Are they a lot of Spanish or Cubans or
Americans? No. My following is 70% is American. Even used to be 90 or 95%. I used to play in Philadelphia. I never see any Latin people. Probably one. Hey, Mongo, one in the crowd. You know, but most of the fans, what I've been working for the last 18 years since I started my band, it's most of the time it's American.
Well, Mongo Santa Maria, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on Fresh Air and to talk with you this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be in your program.
My guest has been Mongo Santa Maria, who is a conga player, band leader, and composer. And thanks again for being here, Mongo.
My pleasure, Danny.